Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with a special news broadcast. Today, the New York City Council provided an information session on MPV, formerly known as monkeypox, as well as some information on COVID-19. New York City Council Speaker from Queens, Adrian Adams, introduced council members and then New York City's Deputy Health Commissioner. Here's Speaker Adams.
As we begin the month of September, we're quickly approaching the start of the school year, as well as the West Indian Day Carnival festivities. There is no better time to make sure that our children, families, and communities are up to date on our immunizations. Whether it's for COVID-19, monkeypox, polio, or other diseases, getting vaccinated is the best way to stay safe and healthy. I encourage everyone to get your vaccine shots and listen to our public health professionals.
New York City Council Speaker Adrian Adams. Queens Council Member Lynn Shulman is chair of the New York City Council's Health Committee. She's a longtime health community and LGBTQI+ activist.
The city is doing a lot to address these viruses, particularly with disseminating educational materials and getting people vaccinated. Unfortunately, with monkeypox, which we prefer to call MPV, vaccine availability has been sparse due to the indifference and inaction of the federal government, which we are all working to address. With polio and COVID-19, we are lucky to have vaccines readily available, and I urge everyone to make sure your polio vaccines are up to date. If you were vaccinated as a child, you are still covered, and the city's Department of Health can give you more details on how you can get that information. Also urge people that aren't vaccinated to get vaccinated and boosted for COVID. The Department of Health and Mental Hygiene has been working closely with the council on these public health issues, and we look forward to listening to those who are here today and looking at productive ways we can all work together to make our communities healthy and safe. I have dedicated my personal and professional life to healthcare advocacy, which was born out of the HIV/AIDS movement when I witnessed friends and neighbors die needlessly because of the indifference of those in power. I saw that same indifference with COVID and now with MPV. As chair of the City Council Health Committee, I am committed to ensuring all New Yorkers have access to affordable and equitable health care, which is the only way we can address the current viruses and be prepared for the next public health crisis.
New York City Council Member Lynn Shulman. New York City Council Member from Brooklyn, Crystal Hudson, is one of the first gay Black women elected in New York City.
It's really important that we continue to talk about MPV and the impacts and disproportionate impacts that it's having on the LGBTQIA+ community, and destigmatizing MPV as an LGBTQIA+ only virus, which it is not.
Councilmember Crystal Hudson. Tiffany Caban is New York City Council Member from Queens. She reminds New Yorkers that we're still very much in a pandemic mode.
You know, we are very much so at the intersection of multiple, virus pandemics. COVID-19 is still a very real threat, and we are contending with the reality that long COVID is shaping up to be and will continue to be one of the most mass disabling events that we have seen in our lifetime. And so it's really important to, on the front end, make sure that we are preventing infection and doing what we can to take care of each other. And MPV is, you know, one where it is especially important to make sure, to my colleague, Councilmember Hudson's point, to destigmatize and to lead with care and compassion so that we are reaching folks who are the most vulnerable for contraction so that they get vaccinated. And that means people who work in fields that require lots of physical touch, from massage workers to sex workers, to everything in between, and just taking a care first and an outcome driven approach to tackling both of these pandemics.
New York City Council Member Tiffany Caban. Next is an MPV activist who worked to organize while suffering from the disease.
I experienced MPV symptoms in July, and at the time, there was a lack of information and knowledge about how to treat symptoms for MPV from healthcare professionals, from clinics, and from hospitals. This left many, many sick people with nowhere to turn. hurt and in pain and helpless, they did the same thing that I did. They went to their social media, and many people flooded my social media inbox with terrifyingly scary messages about the symptoms that they were experiencing and the lack of support that they were getting from the federal government. And so I created a support group that meets, at the time it met every day, it meets Tuesdays and Thursdays now. The virus lasts a long time, so the period of isolation is extensive. And I knew that if I wasn't able to find the support that I needed for me, being very similar to council member Joseph being an educator, I am also an educator. I knew that I have the responsibility to create that for my community. And I knew that that this virus wasn't going anywhere. So what I've learned from this experience is that that this is layered, right? And that it's not only the physically debilitating symptoms that folks are experiencing, but also also PTSD from folks that lived through AIDS. Extended isolation, also PTSD from COVID isolation, relationship drama, stigma, and then what happens when we transition back to life on top of the guilt and the shame that one feels and experiences when going through this. So I just want folks to know that if they do know somebody who is going through this, they do not have to experience this alone, and that the community is here to help and support.
And you're listening to a WBAI New York News special, New York City Public Health, COVID-19 and MPV, presented by the New York City Council. Deputy Health Commissioner Torian Easterling presents information about MPV, its symptoms, ways it can spread, vaccine hesitation, availability, statistics on the disease throughout the states and here in New York City, and how we can remain safe, Dr. Torian Easterling.
You know, as we've already heard, there are a number of different parallel public health emergencies that we are facing right now, and it is required unprecedented collaboration. And so we continue to work with our city council members to make sure that we're not only getting out factual information, but the resources needed to keep ourselves safe as well as our loved ones. And so certainly want to thank the chair of community health, Councilman Shulman, the chair of the Committee on Education, Councilmember Joseph, as well as the co-chairs of the LGBT caucus. You know, really want to thank all of you for your collaboration. Really important, Councilmember Hudson, Councilmember Kavan, Councilmember Botcher, you know, and as well as Councilmember Feliz. Thank you. With that, I'm going to ask one of my colleagues to project the slides, and we will try to move through them with some type of swiftness, because I know in these spaces, really the questions are really the important part, because we want to make sure that folks are getting the information that they are looking for. We're going to try to do some top lines to make sure that folks have an understanding of what we're dealing with in New York City as it relates to MPV. And you'll hear me say MPV, particularly because I think that there has been a lot of questions and concerns with the use of the nomenclature related to monkeypox. Monkeypox is the nomenclature, is the name that the World Health Organization uses for this virus. It is not related to chickenpox. It is related to the smallpox. It is part of the orthopox virus clan, but there is active discussion about changing the name, particularly because of the longstanding stigmatization, racial discrimination around how we think about, the use of the term monkeys. And when we also know that monkeys are not actually the exact reservoir vector that actually transmits this virus. And so there's a lot of questions around the use of the name. And so we use MPV really to make sure that we are conscious around language. So with that, let me move forward and just give some top line. So what is monkeypox? What is MPV? It is a contagious disease that is actually caused by this virus that's within the orthopox clan, as I mentioned. And what's concerning about this particular virus is that we're seeing this virus in countries, in over 90 countries where we have not previously seen it. This virus actually is endemic in other parts of the world, But now we're seeing over 40,000 cases in so many parts of the world where we have not seen it before. And as a result of the presence of this virus, several jurisdictions, including New York State, New York City, as well as the federal government, have declared an emergency declaration, ensuring that we are mobilizing resources, we are mobilizing all of government to make sure that we are stopping the spread of this virus. Next slide. And so what we're seeing in the US, and just so for awareness for everyone that's on this call, we actually have regular communication with the White House command, both the director and the deputy director of the MPV response, Bob Fenton, as well as Dr. Dimitri Dakalakis. We work with them on a constant basis, really to make sure that we have all the resources that we need at the local level, and also understand and do forward planning to make sure that we are thinking ahead to ensure that our response is coordinated with the federal government. What we're seeing across this country is over 18,000 cases have already been reported. We're seeing them in all 50 states, plus Puerto Rico and DC. We have over 3,000 reported cases here in New York City, and in all five boroughs as well. You sort of see the case range across the country, but know that all 50 states, plus the territories that I mentioned, do have cases as well. Next slide. What are the symptoms for MPV? Usually they start within 3 weeks after exposure to the virus. The most common symptom, I think, as has already been heard and discussed, is rash or sores. They can present all over the body, or they can present in certain parts of the body. Areas that are more common are the face, hands, or feet, or inside or around a mouth, genital, or the anus. They have certainly been reported to be extremely itchy and painful. It can last from 2 to 4 weeks. In addition to the rash and sores, individuals have also reported flu-like symptoms, fevers, chills, swollen lymph nodes, headache, body aches, et cetera. Although not as common as the rash or sores, but certainly can present at the same time as the rash or sores or much later. Next slide. And what we're seeing as far as transmission during this outbreak, primarily direct prolonged contact. I just want to make sure that is said up front. Particularly oral or anal or vaginal sex, we certainly have seen heard exposure through those routes, as well as other forms of intimate contact, rimming, hugging, kissing, or biting. And so I think it's really important to understand that it's not only direct, but it's prolonged. And really exposure to rash or sores of someone who actually has the virus. Contact can also happen through clothing or bedding or other types of materials like towels, other items that individuals use, particularly again, if it has been exposed to the rash or sores of someone who has that virus. So it's really important that if an individual has confirmed positive for MPV, and has the presence of sores, and those sores definitely need to be covered up. And we need to minimize and limit any type of exposure to anyone else to those rash or sores. And extra care must be taken to make sure that proper handling as well as cleaning does take place for any of the materials that they're using, their clothing, their bedding, their towels, et cetera. Next slide. So who is at risk? And I do want to emphasize something that Councilor Hudson did mention, that anyone of any sexual orientation can get monkeypox, so it can get MPV. This is really important, and we try to be very clear about this. And although right now what we're seeing, most of the cases in the US and other countries are specifically showing up in the LGBTQ plus community, but I think we need to be clear, and we have seen, particularly already in New York City, with one pediatric case, that anyone, regardless of their gender identity or sexual orientation, can be exposed and infected with MPV. So I think what we want to be sure is that everyone has information about how they can be safe. We certainly know what the risk factors are, particularly because of where and how MPV is transmitting in this country and particularly in this city. And so our message is all about prevention for everyone. And certainly identifying what those risk factors are is also important so that individuals can then take the necessary steps to also protect themselves as well. Next slide. So to that point, how do we protect ourselves, yourself, and also your sexual partners? And so we've been very clear that we want to be clear, put out our prevention message, but also how do we reduce risk? We reduce risk certainly by avoiding sexual activity, particularly with multiple partners, anonymous partners, avoiding certain sex parties, circuit parties, particularly where individuals are having intimate contact with people that do not know or multiple people. Certainly having conversations with partners as well, particularly if symptoms are known, if someone has unknown sexual history. All of these things are really important, particularly it's positive sex information that we want to get out because yes, we want individuals to avoid sexual or intimate contact at this time, particularly if they are engaged in multiple anonymous partner sexual activity. But if they do not, then it's also, there are other ways to protect yourself as well. And that's what we want to really get out. Here are all the ways that individuals can really protect themselves as well as their sexual partners. Next slide. So who should get the vaccine? Right now in New York City, we have administered over 70,000 doses of the JYNNEOS vaccine. This is the only vaccine currently that has been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for the prevention of MPV in children that are over the age of 18. We do know that vaccine supply continues to be low, not only for New York City, but for the entire country. What we have learned from COVID is that it's a four-part harmony. We need supply, we need access, we need demand, and we also need to ensure that there is confidence around the vaccine. That is how we ensure that equity is the center of our campaign, but also that we're able to really reach our public health goals and ensuring coverage across the city. And while supply remains low, we have really been working on our access points across this city. Right now, vaccines are eligible for individuals that are 18 and older and really are part of the community that I already mentioned, identified as being within the LGBTQ community or someone that has, men who have sex with men, but also have multiple sex partners, anonymous partners as well. And also we have outlined the number of sex partners as well. We are looking at how we're going to expand that eligibility over time. And it's really important that we continue to do so because we want to make sure that individuals are being protected from MPV. In addition, we do reach out to individuals who are close contacts of known cases, in addition to doing our prevention message. And so we do a lot of that outreach through our disease investigators. So if there's a known contact, someone will be contacted and then they're connected to one of our vaccine clinic so that they can receive the JYNNEOS vaccine as well. Next slide. So if someone has symptoms, they should certainly call their healthcare provider. If they do not have a healthcare provider, certainly call 311 or check our NYC health map. We're connecting individuals to our colleagues at NYC Health and Hospitals. These are ways in which we are ensuring testing and treatment is available. Although we spoke more about about vaccines, treatment is something also that is available, particularly for those who are already exposed and infected from MPV and needs relief from rash or sores. And so we have seen that the treatment that is available, the antiviral treatment, TPOXX that is available, has shown to provide relief for individuals who are affected with MPV. Next slide. So what is the city doing? So there are a number of things that we are focused on right now, particularly with any public health emergency, any communicable disease outbreak, really important that we have our surveillance infrastructure in place so that we can sort of see what is happening with transmission, how do we really direct our resources. So we continue to do that. And partly that's working with our healthcare systems to understand where we're seeing most of the cases throughout this city. Also working with our public health laboratories. One of the things that we've done is expand testing in this city, not only through our public health laboratories, not only through New York City Health and Hospital, but also through commercial labs. And this is important because everyone does not go through NYC health and hospitals. And so now we have our providers that are able to do testing for MPV as well. As I mentioned, our disease investigators, our contact tracers are calling individuals, doing case investigation, finding out individuals, how they are exposed, if someone else is exposed, and how we can make sure that they're getting the resources that they need. Across the city, we have a number of different vaccine clinics, our sexual health clinics, NYC Health and Hospitals, both brick and mortar as well as mobile clinics that have been stationed across the city, in the Bronx, Staten Island, as well as in Brooklyn. All five boroughs have mobile clinics, making sure that we're not only doing partnership with our CBOs, but we're also partnering with events and making sure that we are providing services well into the late hours of the night to ensure that individuals are getting access to the vaccine as well. Messaging, partnership with community partners, all of these are different strategies that we know have worked during our COVID campaign and really getting on it like a historic campaign like the COVID vaccine, making sure that there has been collaboration across this city. And of course, leveraging spaces like this that has been curated by our city council to ensure that we're getting out factual information. Next slide. So we ask that we continue to push out the right message. And there's a lot of accurate information on our website. And I would like individuals, direct people to go to the NYC Health Department website, the CDC website as well. You can also text alerts at 692-692. Texting it is using the nomenclature monkeypox. We're putting out palm cards, any way that we can support and collaborate with your organization to get message out, whether digital or also in print. We want to continue to work with you. But we also know that individuals do feel shame as it relates to this virus. And so we want to continue to also provide services as it relates to NYC Well. Free mental health counseling and referrals are available in over 200 languages. And so we do also encourage individuals to put out that information, calling 888-NYC-WELL or texting WELL to 65173. And so with that, we'll close. I think there's no other slides, and then we'll move forward with Q&A. But one last point, as we prepare, as we arrive at the end of the summer, and so I will say, happy September to everyone and prepare for Labor Day. I think it's really important that we know that we're also putting out school guidance. School guidance related to COVID-19 preparation. Our at-home test kits are going to be distributed first day of school. We also have guidance as it relates to MPV as well on our website. And so it's really important. I really appreciate all of the council members really underscoring the emphasis on getting vaccinated. We have to make sure that our children, all of us, are vaccinated not only for COVID, but also for polio as well, and MPV if you are eligible. I think that we know that vaccines are safe and effective and really have been keeping us well during these challenging times.
Dr. Torian Easterling, and you've been listening to a WBAI News special, New York City Public Health, COVID-19, and MPV. For more information, you can call 888-NYC-WELL, 888-NYC-WELL, or 888-692-9355. You can also text WELL, W-E-L-L, to 65173. There's a website, nyc.gov/nycwell, for people who need support. For WBAI in New York, I'm Linda Perry, with thanks to the New York City Council for providing this information for our listeners.